This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. The world's largest diamond maker, De Beers, is expected to plead guilty today to a 10-year-old price-fixing charge. De Beers has had a long history of antitrust troubles with the U.S., going back more than half a century. James Surowiecki has written about De Beers for The New Yorker magazine, and I spoke with him earlier about the details of this case.
This case was actually about industrial diamonds, so it was not about the kinds of diamonds you'd buy for engagement rings. It was actually about the kinds of diamonds that are used by companies in industrial processes. And the assertion was that De Beers, in conjunction, I believe, with a division of GE, had conspired to fix prices, and in doing so had basically made it, A, difficult for competitors to enter, and B, of course, raise the prices for its customers, and then, you imagine, somewhere down the line for consumers.
So during this whole time, this 10 years that this case has been boiling along, we've been able to get consumer diamonds from De Beers.
Well, we've been able to get consumer diamonds, but interestingly enough, De Beers does not sell diamonds directly in the United States. And that, again, also has to do with, I think, certain kinds of antitrust concerns. It's also the case that, until now, De Beers executives have not been able to come to the United States for fear of being arrested. But De Beers has basically figured out, that overstates the complexity of it, but they basically are able to use resellers so that they are still the major supplier, I think, and the major player in the sort of commercial consumer diamond market as well.
And they agreed to pay $10 million in fines to the U.S.?
Yeah, which is, you know, relatively speaking, a rounding error. I know a couple of people who said that this was just them kind of, you know, cleaning up the balance sheet, you know, basically sort of deciding it was no longer worth it to continue fighting. The picture is probably a little more complicated than that, because one concern I think some people have is that this will now open De Beers up to, say, class action lawsuits from people, or more likely companies, who feel as if, you know, De Beers had been harming their interests by engaging in price fixing.
Well, they've been notorious for price fixing for nearly a century.
Yeah, De Beers is a fascinating example. I wrote about them years ago, one of my first columns actually at The New Yorker. And one of the things that's really interesting about them is that economists have traditionally thought, justifiably, that it's actually much harder to fix prices than you would think. And the reason is that there's always an incentive, if you have a kind of cartel of people who have gotten together to fix prices, there's always an incentive for people within the cartel to cheat. So if you and I have sort of made an agreement that, you know, you're only going to produce a certain amount, and then by that means we're going to keep the price high, there's always an incentive for you to kind of go a backdoor route and sell more and make more money that way while I'm still, you know, following the rules. And so traditionally it's actually been very hard for price fixing to work, except occasionally when there are, you know, only two or three players. But De Beers has been actually, I think, remarkably successful at it in terms of, you know, both the commercial and the industrial diamond market. I mean, there's something almost remarkable, really, about how successful they've been at controlling not just the price but also the supply of diamonds.
So what's the expectation? They pay this $10 million fine, which is basically a fraction of the billions they generate every year. And do things go back to normal?
Well, to some extent, yeah. I mean, I think the real question for De Beers is this class action question. And I know actually a suit was filed in the last few days by one company alleging that, you know, it had done, I think the suit was for, say, $100 million or something like that. But I think practically speaking, yeah, it probably does not have, it is kind of business as usual. I think it means that ideally it'll mean that executives can come back here. I think that the broader question going forward for De Beers, you know, is how well it can continue to maintain a control over the supply of diamonds. And you know, the great and interesting thing about diamonds, this is not as true of industrial diamonds, but is that they actually are not as rare as we think they are. But De Beers has done a brilliant job over the last, as you said, century of creating a kind of illusion of rarity. And so the interesting question going forward is how successful they're going to be able to continue to be at doing that.
James Surowiecki writes for The New Yorker. He's also the author of the book The Wisdom of Crowds. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
And I'm Madeline Brand.